China is the world's leading jailer of journalists for the third year running, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. It says Chinese authorities jailed 8 last year for a total of 35 journalists behind bars. Political issues remain off limits to the press, and pushing those boundaries can result in serious problems for Chinese reporters. NPR's Rob Gifford reports that despite all that, there is growing independence and variety in China's press.
Hu Shuli has got a magazine to publish, and she hasn't got time to hang around. The 40-something editor is one of the new brand of Chinese journalists, brash, bold, and full of enthusiasm. Trained in the old Communist Party propaganda system, Hu is now editor of one of China's new freewheeling commercial magazines. It's called Caijing, meaning finance. It's made its reputation uncovering the corruption, shady deals, and insider trading, now so common as China makes its roller coaster transition from communism to capitalism. Hu says the media environment today is worlds away from even 10 years ago.
For some very sensitive political issues, I think all the journalists are very aware of and really understand where is the limitation. But at the same time, there's still a lot of spaces, I believe, that we could do a lot of things much more than people imagine. Because the whole situation is not so tight. So it's easier.
Hu Shuli has visited the United States several times and spent a year on the Knight Fellowship Program for Journalists at Stanford University. She says the new freedoms that Chinese journalists enjoy have less to do with political liberalization than with changing economic realities.
In the 1980s, newspaper got funded from the government. By the 90s, the advertisement market became very, very big. And most newspapers live on advertisement instead of circulation. They can earn money through the market and they don't need any fund from the government. So the whole situation has been greatly changed.
And that has meant an explosion of new commercially run papers and magazines. The old official party mouthpieces on television and in print still exist. And on important political issues, they still set the agenda and the lines which no journalist can cross. But the newly independent commercial press, everything from Cosmopolitan magazine in Chinese to specialist journals on American basketball, receive no government funding. So they have to find interesting stories to sell copies and advertising in order to stay afloat. And that needs good writers.
You remember the home assignment I gave you? I gave you last time. Last week.
At Beijing's prestigious Tsinghua University, Professor Li Xiguang is teaching a freshman journalism class. Li is a popular teacher, a former reporter for the official Xinhua news agency who has also spent time in the United States. Today, he projects a story from the official People's Daily newspaper from his computer onto a white screen for the class to analyze.
When you read the headline, you don't know what you are reading. You have this foggy mind. You don't know.
Li proceeds to tear the story apart, telling his students why the article is bad journalism. Then he projects up on the screen Exhibit B to explain how the students should write their articles.
Now let's look at the New York Times. It's written by this famous American woman journalist, Elizabeth Rosenthal.
Li gets a student to read the New York Times story about China written by its Beijing correspondent. He makes it clear that this is the standard to which they should aspire. After the class, he says the fact that he's allowed and even encouraged to use the New York Times to teach Chinese journalism students shows just how far China has come, though he says there is still plenty of inertia in the official press. Li says the advent of the internet is also greatly affecting China's official state-run media. When information is available on the net like never before, the government line on the evening news becomes even less credible. And as long as they don't challenge the government, journalists in print and online are reporting on all sorts of previously sensitive social issues such as AIDS, legal reform, and unrest in China's factories. Li Xiguang applauds such growing freedom, but says it hasn't necessarily made Chinese journalists any better writers, and that's his aim.
Professionally, I think I really want to copy American journalism 100%. But one thing is different. I want to copy American journalism methodology, but with Chinese perspective. So that is why I want Tsinghua School of Journalism to use the textbook of Columbia School of Journalism.
But for all the new social and economic freedoms that Lee speaks of, there are still plenty of journalists who come to grief while pushing the limits of China's new openness. In her small apartment in the northern Chinese city of Taiyuan, Duan Maoying sits watching a soap opera. She says she doesn't watch much news these days, and it's hardly surprising. Acting on exhortations by the central government to root out official corruption 4 years ago, her husband, a journalist called Gao Qingrong, published an article about corruption involving several very senior provincial officials. The sum of money involved was roughly $35 million. Several months later, he was arrested and, Duan says, sentenced on trumped-up charges to 13 years in prison.
The central government encouraged an anti-corruption drive, and my husband was one of the first to take up the call. What's happened to him? He was sentenced to 13 years in jail. He's a hero in exposing corruption, but now he's in jail.
Ironically, China's press is free enough that many newspapers openly reported Gao's arrest, that the bold reporter who dug up official corruption in Taiyuan had been imprisoned. But to no avail. They could report his case, but do nothing to free him. And now, says Duan, her husband has been largely forgotten. She scoffs at the shiny new lifestyle magazines on the newsstands and the supposed new openness of the system.
There's no press freedom at all in China. The leaders just say nice words, but they're empty. We want you to write everything is okay and never read anything about the bad things. All these so-called changes are completely superficial.
In the Chinese media, like so many areas of modern Chinese life, increased social and economic freedoms are one thing, but getting mixed up in politics is another thing altogether. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.